This is Facility Rockstars, the podcast that celebrates the unsung heroes of our daily lives, facility professionals. I'm your host, Jay Culbert. Join me as we honor these great leaders, sharing stories, insights, and expertise that empower us all to learn and grow together. Facility Rockstars is sponsored by Colutus, operating the way you operate in order to make your life easier.
Welcome to Facility Rockstars. I'm your host, Jay Culbert, and I am excited to introduce today's guest. He has not only been a customer, but also a friend for almost 11 years now. He has over 20 years experience with R&D facility management. He manages and directs the facility needs for multiple buildings in multiple states. He's currently the manager of facilities technical operations at EMD Serono. And in addition to all of that, he still finds time to get out and have some fun every now and then. Mike Albano, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm thrilled you could make it and join us.
Yep, happy to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, knowing you throughout the years, Mike, I've learned a lot from you. You've taught me a lot. You've taught a lot to those around you. And a big question that comes to mind for me is, what has been your biggest lesson learned as a facility manager through the years?
Don't overcomplicate things. Keep it to the point and make it simple. A lot of the guys I work with, there are, you know, sometimes they overcomplicate things when you're going into a meeting and you got PowerPoints and flow charts and Gantt charts and Excel spreadsheets. A lot of the times the contractors I'm working with, some of them are familiar and use the computers. A lot of them don't. So I kind of really make things basic and simple, bullets and, what's my role? What's my responsibility? And we break it down just by bullet when we meet.
I love that. We could use more of that in our organization. I think a lot of people probably could. So that's good advice. The first thing I'm thinking of is, so you said roles and responsibilities. How does that coincide, or does it coincide with like someone's job description versus what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I know to speak with a lot of other facilities managers. Sometimes different companies have different structure, and you might have like what everybody wants to have: a facilities manager, a supervisor, a coordinator, and then your technicians, HVAC, electrician, carpenter, so forth and so on. And sometimes everybody isn't so privileged to have that structure at their facility. So you try to make best with what you have. And, you know, I've done this with my contractors. So we have 40-hour-a-week contractors that are on site. And some of these guys I've worked with for over 10 years now. They play a very important role, each and every one of them. I don't have that facilities coordinator who would pick up the phone and make those phone calls to the contractors to schedule them, meet them at the front door, bring them to where they need to be, and close out those incoming tickets. So it's really using what you have to best of their ability. And it's paid off for me.
Yeah, I've watched you organize with them through the years, Mike. And now my next question is, how do you coordinate with, you know, if they're a contractor, they're not reporting up within your organization, right? They're reporting to an outside entity.
Yes and no. I mean, they reported to me directly because through the contracts that we've established. Well, some do, some don't, but for the most part, they do, because we've established contracts with those groups, and they know they report in Mike Albano, and we have those routine meetings. And ultimately, you know, they still work for the NRGs and the JECs or the JCIs of the world.
Sure.
So, they report into me, and we go over our daily tickets and things like that, and we talk about the scheduled upcoming work, preventive maintenance, and things like that.
That's awesome. Okay, that clears it up a bit. You know, I'm looking at some things here. Like you've got roles and responsibilities, and you know, created something as simple as creating a group text. You do that with everyone you touch, or can you expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, again, keeping it simple, right?
Yeah.
It was actually after changing out a water heater last night that I didn't want to do for my brother. I found myself at the restaurant and I was sitting down next to a couple of guys, another facilities manager who worked for Gillette. And he was with one of his contractors from the janitorial sector. And I kind of overheard them talking. So we started talking and I actually started talking about the creating a group text for your guys. As a lot of us are faced with the struggle of, post COVID, trying to get headcount in the building contractor wise, but it's not always getting headcount in the building. It's getting the right people in the building. And, in one of those areas for security, it's been a struggle. And so with this group text, I don't only include my security guys, as I was telling them, I also include my HVAC guy, my electrician, my carpenter, my boiler operator. So with those guys, myself and my manager, because if I'm on vacation, I need somebody to cover the responsibility when I'm away. So my manager, myself, my four guys, and then also the security manager and his team are all on this group text. So, for example, and the text goes out to all these same people. And it's as simple as somebody's at the front door.
When you say it goes out to the same people, so the HVAC contractor and security and, the electrician, they're all seeing this communication? Is that what you mean?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And generally, for example, so security, they'll use it to say, hey, Johnson Controls is at the front door. So, and maybe our HVAC guy who would normally answer that call and say, okay, I'll be down to grab him. He might be out on vacation or he might be out sick. So one of the other guys, the carpenter or the boiler operator, they'll say, okay, I'll go grab it. And now myself and my manager will already see that, all right, somebody's at the front door. Somebody's taking care of it. No worries. Everything's happening as it should. It also gives us insight to who's in the building today and what are they doing. Sometimes vendors show up unannounced. Your National Grids of the world. Sometimes they're on the door and they want to come in. What are you here for? And it works out great for everybody.
That's awesome. That's the biggest thing I'm hearing is that is super high level of collaboration across disciplines, across trades, across everything, departments.
Yeah, it also works. We do generator testing every Tuesday of every week. So we have multiple buildings on site. So the electrician will jump on that same text thread because we're going to get some alarms. Hey, I'm testing the generators. We'll be starting in 15 minutes. Now the same people who need to know what's going on, we're all aware that, oh yeah, the alarms are coming and it's so-and-so. Or if, hey, we're shutting down air handler one or boiler three's an alarm. Everybody who needs to know what's going on, there's a leak in the lobby, stuff like that. It's just keeping everybody in the know.
That's awesome.
And also I like to add though, what's good about the text message, not everybody's always reading their emails. So you might have 10, 20, 30 emails in your queue and you haven't got to them yet, but everybody's checking the text messages. So it's a good way to keep everybody in the know.
I love it. I think that'll help not only myself, but everybody listening. So you've got me thinking, where could we put that in place? Right. Cause we have a couple of small threads, but you're absolutely right about the email. It's a busy place, right? The inbox is a busy place. It's a distraction. That text thread makes a lot of sense.
Hey, with everybody that's always in meetings or on podcasts for that matter, you can't always pick up and answer your phone, but it's as simple as, a text comes in and I could be on this. I'm just checking. Oh yeah. Okay. Somebody's in the building. Put your phone down. You're in the know.
And those with smart watches, they're just looking at their watch, checking the time, but they read their message at the same time too. So
keeping it simple in the know.
Yeah. I love it. You said something about appointing trustworthy spotters. That got my attention. Do you want to talk about that at all, Mike?
Yeah. So I guess alluding to that was trying to assist your building engineers and share the responsibility and the load of scheduling contractors and scheduling preventative maintenance. So, you know, I've been approached, you know, by somebody, you know, how do I, they have multiple sites with multiple buildings, but they don't have that headcount to support the eyes and the ears on the ground. So it's important to have eyes and ears on the ground. And it can be sometimes, you know, you can use your day spotters. I use that word because that person I was speaking to, they were having trouble. You know, they said, "Hey, Mike, I know you work short-handed with a skeleton crew. How are you successful doing what you do?" So I said, "Well, you know, I utilize security. I utilize my four contractors." But I said, spotters, to that particular person, they have janitorial folks that are there, 24/7. Some places are throughout the day, third shift and things like that. And they have day spotters that generally it's their janitorial staff manages. It's the engineers can't be there all the time. They're not there on second shift. They're not there on third shift. And if you can better utilize your security staff when they're doing their rounds, or if your janitors, your spotters are there as well, it's just like at your house. You know, something's making a hissing noise that wasn't making a hissing noise, or water's squirting out of where it shouldn't be, or something's vibrating like it shouldn't be. Obviously, you know, there's an issue there. So it's just having somebody being able to know that they're in this part of campus, they're in this building, they're seeing this problem, and I'm going to report it to the building engineers, or I'm going to report it to security, who can then alert on-call personnel.
So a spotter doesn't need to be any particular department. If I'm hearing you correctly, it could be, you said mostly janitorial, I think. And then
security, yeah, janitorial, okay. Security.
So it could be any department as long as they're aware of, like you said, that leak that shouldn't be leaking, or, you know, that pipe that shouldn't be leaking, or that hissing noise that shouldn't be doing that. But it doesn't need to be one of your contractors or someone per se in facilities, just someone who's looking out. Is that accurate?
Yeah, somebody trustworthy, looking out for the best interest of the company.
Got it. How long have you been doing that?
I've been with the company for 15 years. I've been in, you know, this role for almost 4 years, and kind of been doing it all along. You know, I was the one playing that role for most of that time, but it's worked out well.
Makes a lot of sense. Everything you're saying is tying right back to the first thing you said. Keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate
it. Simple. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't hear any, I don't know if the right word is bureaucracy or anything like that. It's just, you know, it's really good, clean, constant communication.
Yeah. I get good feedback from the guys still. They like how we do things. They respond well to it. I got a good crew. It works really well for me. So, it all goes, and you're going to meet with your team regularly too. So
a total side note, when you're talking about communication, you mentioned what, the diner, where were you? And you saw the guys from Gillette, you were getting something to eat.
Oh yeah. I was eating sushi.
Okay. All right. So yeah, you're never really getting away from work. I just remembered, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, of course, your parent company is Germany company, Merck, right? And you'd get emails, what, in the middle of the night? Does that still happen? And if so, do you have to respond?
Of course it does. Of course not. I mean, that, again, that's where the text messages are important, because you don't want, especially if you're not on call, which I am all the time, but I play backup to the guys who are on call. So I'm overseeing the whole program. But you're not getting woken up by random emails, because you got those notifications on silence, and just like your phone as well. But those text messages always bleep in, because you shouldn't be getting pounded with alarms and text messages all night, because then you got a problem. So you need to wake up and see what's going on.
Got it. Makes sense. Again, the layers. That's awesome. You just mentioned, if I heard you right, weekly meetings, or, you know, a facilities weekly review. Do you want to run through that at all? How you keep in touch with your people?
Absolutely. So we do. Sometimes there's more meetings than there needs to be. There's meetings for meetings, right? We've been to them all, but three basic meetings I use are our facilities weekly review. One, we do that, you know, in the beginning of the week after the weekend. So we hit that on Monday. And then we do, we review our open tickets on Friday. So wrapping up the week, what did we, you know, what did we accomplish this week? And then, you know, then your one-on-one meetings. So you want to meet with your team one-on-one so you can discuss other things outside of those tickets and facilities review stuff. But yeah, so we set up a facilities weekly review. And this should cover hot topics and interactions with other groups, anything project related and new business. So, you know, I put an agenda together that covers all of the trade areas, HVAC, plumbing, electrical, carpentry, janitorial, security, landscaping, especially this time of year with snow removal and I get a storm coming in. So you like to cover those topics as well. And what I do and you should be doing is gathering all the information that is thrown your way, such as phone calls, text messages, emails, the drive-by requests you get in the hallway, and adding it to the weekly agenda. Again, keeping it really simple. There's a lot of information out there and you'll lose sight of it. Is somebody says something to you in the hallway and you're on your way to go to the bathroom and by the time you get back to your desk, because you've already talked to several people, you forgot about it. So you always got your phone with you, right? So. Mm-hmm. You know, I use the notes in my phone and always keep everything in my notes. And I take all that information. I add it to a Word document because it's a simple document. We tried other things. The guys didn't like it. And we ended up going back to the Word document again, bullets. And so we capture all that information inside that that weekly review. And that's what we review on Mondays. And I invite others to those that weekly review. So it's my team. But for me, we deal with a lot of work with our lab operations folks. So they appoint an individual who goes to that meeting and they have backup for when that person's out on vacation. And the same thing with our EH&S folks. They sit in on that meeting too. So they'll have a dedicated person and a backup person. So we're not only covering the bases for us, we're also covering the bases for the two groups we work with the most. So we'll kind of jump into our ticket review, and it's just a little small window because we do that on Fridays. But on Mondays, we like to at least open up the tickets and review the tickets we have open with our lab ops folks and our EH&S folks and cover their tickets for them because they don't sit on the Friday meeting.
Okay. If I could ask a question, Mike, real quick, because I've heard just on the ticket process, I've heard from so many different companies through the years and about tickets, and it always seems to have some variation. You know, it's never the same. Is there an SOP? Like, what is your SOP? How do you give priority to tickets that come in from different departments? Like, I think, you know, people would probably want to hear a little more. I'd like to hear a little more detail about that because nothing seems consistent in the industry.
There's a lot of backdoor activity that happens. That's the right word I'm looking for. But so when you're setting up your CMMS to begin with, you're creating that structure. If somebody enters a ticket in the system and it happens to be reporting a leak, a roof leak, a ceiling leak, water's coming in, and whatever the case may be, that supersedes, I need a coat hook hung in my office or, you know, something like yep. that. Or if you have a boiler alarm and it's the middle of the winter, you know, you get that back up and running, or you're going to have other problems with your air handlers, tripping freeze stats and, or freezing coils and creating leaks. So that type of stuff is all set up when you have selected your CMMS and now you're building the structure within it.
And you've had the same one for all 15 years or has it changed?
Oh, no, we didn't. We've started out with, I think it was called FM Systems. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't, and I'm sure it had some options and functions that we weren't better utilizing at the time. And then we used Corrigo for a small window, which was, I liked the platform. I thought it was pretty good. But then ultimately we ended up with a system called eMaintenance. And the guys last night, they over at Gillette, they use, what is it? What is it called? Mimoso? Not Mimoso. I can't think of the name. Maximo.
There you go.
Maximo. There it is. Mimoso. Wait, think of mimosas. I need a drink.
I've heard very good things about that.
Oh yeah, but you're going to pay for it too. So yes. Some companies might want to have deeper pockets to put towards their CMMS functions. But you know, this one here we use is great. I like it. It does everything I need it to do. Right now we're basically using it for corrective action tickets and preventative maintenance. But it does have some other functionalities you can use for projects and things like that.
Does it meet your standards of simplicity? Keep it simple?
It does. And that's why we review those tickets on Friday. So, you know, everybody should be putting in tickets. No drive-bys are accepted. And because if you can't capture your metrics, or speak to headcount, hey, I need more headcount because I got so many tickets in my queue. Mm-hmm. So it's those are the things we review on Friday. You know, what's open, what's on hold, and then you can go in there and edit the tickets as well, because, you know, things are always changing. Sometimes contractors got to cancel and you got to reschedule. So, but it's good because even when you close your tickets and you're looking for some information, hey, didn't we replace the bearings on air handler one in 2022? I don't know. You go in the system and check those tickets, air handler one, you go through the history and you find, the handler one. Oh yeah, we did do it in 2022. So it's we do that at the end of the week. But to wrap up your question regarding tickets, the one-on-one meetings between your engineers and your day spotters, this should happen once a month. This isn't something that's weekly, you know, because you're already covering that in those other two meetings. So you meet once a month, exclude the day-to-day operations. Like I said, you're already discussing those topics weekly, so no need to be redundant. Unless necessary, right? Mm-hmm. So this is more for discussing goals and objectives, upcoming time off, expense reports, and to provide support where needed. It might not even be work-related.
You've got a lot going on throughout the week, and it seems to have a really consistent good flow. I mean, I think consistency is, that's what I'm hearing, Mike. Everything's very consistent with you and the teams.
It is. And it works. It's simple, and the team likes it, so it works.
Don't over.
I'm in the know. You know, I seem to get what I need to know, and not what I want to hear. So it's a good fluid situation.
If you could, I'm glad you said that. I wanted to. You mentioned a couple of weeks ago something about micromanaging, and then how people will tell you what you want to hear versus what you need to hear. I really liked when you touched on that. You want to talk about that a bit?
Sure. I mean, listen, I started back in 96 and, you know, climbing through people's attics and, you know, hooking up, ductwork and things like that. And I've been on that side of the fence, and I'm on the other side of the fence these days. And, I didn't like micromanaging back then either. And I know the guys, they don't like it either. In my opinion, it doesn't work. People tend to hide from you, lie to you, tell you what you want to hear and not necessarily what you need to hear. So whenever you need them, they're not around. So in my experience, if you give your employees some space, they tend to be more receptive. If you're meeting regularly with them, it'll show who's keeping up with their task and who isn't. So sometimes the whole babysitting an employee has to happen, but hopefully they'll see what others are doing and follow suit, because nobody wants to be the no update guy, you know. So when they see nobody else, you know, people are coming to the table with, hey, this is where we're at. They got updates. So when somebody's like, they have no updates, I need to get back to you, I really don't know. That'll already tell you more than enough that if somebody's doing their job or not.
That's great. I think I'm thinking this is coming down to your culture that you're built you know, you and Chris and the whole team have really built, because if someone wants to hide, they're probably afraid that they haven't done something. And sometimes I've seen that people don't know what's expected of them. And back to your consistency and the regularity of the consistency of what you do every single week. It sounds like people know what to expect and how to deliver on it.
Mm. Yeah. It's, that culture is, it's definitely there. I feel like we got the respect of the guys, and it shows. You know, I know guys don't want to come in when they're not scheduled for a weekend, but you know, if I'm asking one of the guys, hey, I need you, 80-20, but it's usually like 90-10, they're there for me. So I respect them, and they respect me.
That's fantastic. Good for you, Mike. You mentioned DC too. Now, and the reason I bring that up, and you oversee a building in Washington, DC, right?
We oversee a floor within a building.
Okay.
In Washington, DC. Yeah.
Well, so it's not within reach of, you know, physical touch, right? And a lot of times I've seen, you know, like, it's, if you can't fix it and touch it or see it yourself, it's more difficult to manage. So I think people would benefit from hearing, like, how do you handle that? An out of state, you know, facility that needs your attention, yet you're not physically there.
I guess it kind of goes back to that day spotter thing. But we have a few individuals that are our ears and eyes on the ground, and we meet with them regularly as well. I was just doing this the other day, going over some open tickets that we had regarding carpentry, you know, painting, electrical. There were some open tickets that we have, and you know, we have they have an in-house, building management. I think it's CBRE now. So they have a ticket system. And we have access to their portal, so we can put in tickets and we can view. And if it's something that they're not going to take care of in-house, you have to try to build relationships with vendors that are in that area that can support you. And sometimes that's a challenge. Sometimes you got to go down there and do it yourself before you find the right people. So within that weekly agenda that I put together, I've broken out those sections in there as well, because we have property in Rockland where we're extending our growth down to Seaport at Pier 4. We have DC. So we have these other areas that we still have to, you know, Chris and I still have to, you know, manage. And so again, those emails and text messages and phone calls that apply to those different locations, I add them to the list. We put tickets in, and we just like we treat Billerica, we do the same for those areas as well.
That's great. So it's all coming down to your systems, every bit of it. It's all, you know, it sounds like, you know, regardless of where it is, Seaport, DC, or Billerica, it doesn't really matter. All the systems are the same. There's a couple things we talked about too regarding training and like cross training and providing training for your team, Mike. Like that's huge. And I think across any industry or different industries, it's lacking because it's easy to avoid or not invest in that. Can you speak about that a little bit? Like, how do you actually train your people? How do you provide the time? Where do you get the finance for it? How does it happen?
So providing opportunities for cross training, hopefully folks will be encouraged to want to learn what other people are doing. And again, it's worked out really well for me. We brought in folks. I got one guy that's been working with me for over 10 years. You know, he came in knowing very little, and now he's one of my go-to guys. He's on call. He's been exposed to the building management systems, Johnson Controls, Siemens Apogee, DeSigo. He knows how to use all three. and that's just by, you know, working with the other guys, you know, because they're on call. We're in the same meetings. We learn from listening and we learn from watching. It's just, you know, wanting to learn, you know, wanting to know a little bit more. So the opportunities are always there. You just got to want to, you just got to want to not be lazy, and you just want to jump in and get into it. The guys are already there for 40 hours. You know, some days are a nightmare and we're just flat out. You know, there's not enough time in the day to do what we need to do, but you know, then there's opportunities where there is. And so instead of hiding and not working, mm-hmm. you know, but you know, you know, Joe's busy working on the air handler and this might be a problem you might run into when you're on call, you know, oh, the air handler went down. It keeps tripping the freestat and I can't get the system back up and running because every time I reset it, it just shuts off again. Well, there might be a better way to shut everything down and bring it all up together. And so these guys have, you know, resetting the fire alarm panel, you know, those can be a nuisance in the middle of the night. So it's just, it's working with the other guys, taking the time to listen to what they have to say and being open-minded to, stepping out of your comfort zone, taking some training, a wastewater license. I got, most of the guys on my team got the wastewater license. You know, it's just something that, you know, nobody had, but you know, we have a treatment, neutralization system on campus and people are on call. They need to know what they're looking at. They need to know what they need to do when you run into problems. So, you know, training is offered, you know, there's sometimes you get to spend a little bit of money and sometimes it's just free.
That is awesome. Like, it's just learning and growing constantly, like creating that environment where you want to grow. You know, there's no stagnation. There's no sitting around. That's fantastic.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it works well too with, you get a lot of like, that those eyes and ears on the ground. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? We were talking about that earlier. Mm-hmm. Daily rounds, BMS rounds. So I created a checklist, you know, rounds checklist, and it includes all the mechanical spaces, the labs, the offices, common areas, you know, and then for the BMS.
BMS. Yeah. What did you say? BMS rounds?
I'm sure most of the guys are going to know what I'm talking about. Building management systems.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Somebody call them EMS, energy management systems. But
I gotcha.
This is your Johnson Controls and your Siemens of the world. So when you get a username and a password and you log into these softwares, what am I looking at? You know, it's got all your campus equipment within them. Your boilers, your exhaust fans, your cabinet unit heaters, you know, all your mechanical systems, and they all got little individual points telling you what the temperature is, what the humidity is, air changes, and all that stuff. It might, like, if you've never seen it before, what am I looking at? You know, like, you know, the guy I spoke about earlier who's been with me for 10 years, he never used any of that, you know, in his previous line of work, and now he's all over it, you know? Hey, I need you to run a trend report. You know, we had an alarm last night, and I need to provide a report to so-and-so. You know, these guys, they all know how to do it. Some of them never used it before, but they watch, they sit down with somebody who's fluid with it. And, you know, mm-hmm. they just see, yeah, what are you doing there? It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you could do that. And they know they learn, you know, and we got round sheets where you fill in that data and it's redundant because you can get all of that information through reporting when you go into these systems. So why do a building round sheet for BMS when the software already encompasses it? Isn't that redundant? It is, but it helps people who aren't used to it, like those day spotters we were talking about earlier. If you bring them up to speed on that software and you have them fill in the data, they'll start to do it quicker because now they know what they're looking at.
Mike, you're a humble guy. I've always known you to be that way. And it just comes down to great leadership, man. That, I mean, you've got a great leadership model for your team, and that it creates a learning environment. It's fantastic. How the hell do you not lose your cool? I don't think I've ever seen you lose your cool with all of this going on in the week. How do you maintain your composure all the time? Or maybe
that's not true.
Okay.
Yeah. There's been a few times where hey, about what happened in the office today. I just want to apologize about that. So fortunately for me, I got good feedback from my boss. You know, hey, work is stressful at times. No need to apologize. But I, you know, you do got to recognize when you step outside of those boundaries. So
we're all human.
Yes.
So maybe a good segue then to learn. Listen, and you just taught us for what, 40 minutes here about facilities management. A lot of stuff that people have maybe heard and maybe a lot of things people have never heard. And I bet people want to know a little bit more about, you know, Mike Albano. Who's Mike Albano? So I'm going to stick you in a time machine. I'm going to bring you back to, I don't know what year it would have been, but say you're 8 years old. 8-year-old Mike's looking in the mirror saying, did you say to yourself, I want to be a leader in the pharmaceutical, you know, R&D, facilities management world when I grow up? Is that what you said to yourself?
I don't think anybody was talking about pharmaceuticals and back when I was 8 years old. So, no, that came on a little later on in life. I was tried college after high school for a year. I went to a community college, and it wasn't for me. I didn't want to do it. So I kind of, I guess I was a little behind the ball because I went to, the trade route, and I, already competing with people who, went to the Volk, and they were already learning those different trades and trying to figure out which trade they liked the best. But, I had some friends that were in HVAC, and so I kind of grasped onto that and enjoyed in learning, how to install compressors and solder and braze. And I can't say I enjoyed being in the beginning stages of that as the helper and grabbing people's tools and climbing into spaces that people normally wouldn't want to go into. But that's what I did. I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and 20 of it I spent in pharma. I completed my HVACR courses at the Peterson School in Woburn back in 96. And this opened up the doors for me in the trades world. I mean, because whichever way you want to look at it, economy's thriving, the economy's not thriving. We're in a pandemic or we're not. The water needs to flow, the lights need to be on, and things need to be tempered. So the trades are great. Everybody I know who works in the trades are doing well for themselves. So happy to be here. I started my first job within the industry working in the parts department for DCNE Carrier in Malden on Eastern Ave, my hometown.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of the guys have been in and out of there getting their parts, and good group of guys that work there and everything. And a local company that was hiring down the street had a position open for a helper. So, they left the information at the front desk, at the parts desk. And I forget Scott's last name, but Scott turned me on to it. And so I applied for this job. Beacon Refrigeration and Air Conditioning back in 1997. So that's where I started climbing through attics and learning the trade. My first job, hands-on stuff, then I jumped around. Oh yeah. I mean, for sure. Cause you need to start out somewhere. Yep. And it's good to get the, working in a van, going, doing residential, small commercial, and then, led to me jumping around to other companies doing more commercial work. One of the places I really enjoyed working at, it was at John Hancock in Back Bay, Boston for a few years. It was awesome. I mean, 3 million square feet, 6 high-rise buildings. Wow. It was, all sorts of different, big chillers and boilers. And we did everything in-house too. We did all of the internal moves. So there was no, Casey and Hayes or Tobin. That was we did all the moves. That was our overtime. Even had all the guys working. If you're lucky enough to work with, doing the fire alarm testing. We do fire alarm testing. At EMD, but at John Hancock, it's just another world of fire alarm testing. Replacing windows on the side of the building.
I can imagine how much fun that is.
Yeah, the blinking light on the top of the Berkeley building.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. So do you know what it means when it's blue or blinking blue or red or blinking red? Uh-uh. So they got a little rhyme. It's, so it's weather related. Steady blue, clear view, blinking blue, clouds are due, steady red, rain ahead, blinking red, snow instead, except for in the summertime, if it's blinking red, the Red Sox game has been canceled.
That is awesome.
When you're driving down Starrow Drive and you see what's going on with the light over there, you can tell what's upcoming for the weather or what's going on with the game.
Oh, wow. That is awesome. I love it.
So I spent some time there, but then I ended up leaving John Hancock and I got into my first startup company in Farmer in 03, you know, and worked for a couple of different companies there. And I made some moves and landed a job with EMD Serono back in 2008 and been there since. And when I first started with EMD, I was hired as the HVAC technician. And over the years, I got promoted coordinator, supervisor, operations manager. And I've seen and supported the site growth from 70,000 square feet to over 500,000 square feet where we are today in Billerica.
Huge expansion.
Repurposing old buildings, building new buildings. I got to experience all the opportunities to be part of a team that is exposed to me to work with many architects and engineers and design groups to develop LEED Gold and WELL Platinum certified buildings. We had an event back in 2018, 19, somewhere around there. And we opened the, if I'm not mistaken, I hope I don't get incorrect, but we were the first company to build a WELL Platinum certified building, the first in the United States, and I believe second globally at the time. It was awesome to be part of something like that. And we had IFMA, International Facilities Management. Sure. So we had an event at our company, and they had we had a panel of our architects and engineers and our GCs and stuff who were the sweat and tears behind there, because the people were in the, they had a big crowd asking questions, and the panel was fielding these questions like, how did you accomplish what you accomplished with the budget that you had to work with? And so it was pretty cool to be, part of something like that.
Oh, that'd be a special experience right there. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Wow.
So, I guess, that said, right, I'll end on this note, okay? To be successful, show up, do a good job, have the right attitude. Not everybody is comfortable stepping outside their comfort zones, and I'm one of them, right? So today's session put me on edge a bit because I'm not comfortable speaking in front of large groups or on camera.
Well, we can't tell.
Yeah. But I'm here today to let everybody know if I can do it, man. You can too. So,
Mike, I can't thank you enough, man. I mean, it's just this was so much information, and thank you for what you just said. Step outside the comfort zone, and you joined us, and I'm so grateful for that. And the fact that we've been able to work alongside each other for over a decade now and have a lot of fun outside of work is just a great added benefit, right? So,
I agree. Created a lot of good relationships over the years. Going back to John Hancock, I'm still friends with a lot of those guys, So it's a lot of good relationships along the way.
Awesome.
And these are, assets for the future.
Definitely. So if someone wants to get in touch with you, Mike, how would they do that? Because you've laid down a lot of gold today and hey, I'd love to ask another question. What's the best way to get in touch with you? Maybe we can put it in the notes when we air the pod.
Yeah, you have my email. Or my personal email is fine as well. Michael.Albano76@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Awesome, man. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it.
It's a wrap. Another episode of Facility Rockstars is in the books. Facility Rockstars is sponsored by Colutus. Operating the way you operate in order to make your life easier. Until next time, facilitate and rock on. Rock on.